In this episode, I'll be talking about this intriguing boxing match between Anderson Silva and Jake Paul. I'm going to talk about Anderson Silva, potentially some vulnerabilities that I see in his game with Jake Paul, and also Jake Paul and where the extent of his boxing skill runs out against someone like Anderson Silva. Stay tuned for the analysis. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the War Room. This one is for... Hang on a minute. Am I going to say this? Jake Paul versus Anderson Silva. I'll take a minute. Just let that sink in. This episode is brought to you as a gift from us at Full Reptile. So the episode is sponsored by Full Reptile, this one. We've got the new medallion line, so we figured we'd give ourselves a little love. Go to fullreptile.co.uk. And check out, we've got this hat, we've got hoodies, we've got t-shirts, we've got all kinds of stuff. The new medallion line is live, so please go and check it out. We like to give you these shows for free so you can enjoy as much as we're enjoying, but any kind of support through the website is always wonderful. So thank you, and give us a like and a subscribe. Okay, Anderson Silva, Jake Paul. So, Anderson Silva 6'2", Jake Paul is 6'1". Anderson Silva has a 1-inch height advantage and a 1.5-inch reach advantage. He is also... he's also a considerable amount older, 22 years older than Jake Paul. An extensive mixed martial arts record, 34-11 with 23 knockouts. A record of 3-1 in boxing with 2 knockouts. Now, He had a loss on his record. I didn't realize this until I looked into it a few weeks ago. He has one loss on his record in his pro debut, which was in 1998. He retired at the end of the first round, to which I assume was an injury of some sort. There's no more information about that. I'm going to do a bit more research and see if I can find it. But interestingly, when he had his pro debut, Jake Paul had just been born. He was like a year and 3 months old. Just to put everything into perspective for you. Now, Jake Paul is 25 years old. He's 5-0 with 4 knockouts. 6'1". You know, he's a big kid. He's going to be comparable with Anderson Silva for size. He's going to be quick and powerful, as I would expect the majority of 25-year-olds who are working out on a daily basis, especially people who have all the money in the world and nothing else to do other than prepare for a boxing match. Now, there's no doubt about it. Anderson Silva as a martial artist is and always will be better than Jake Paul. Now, regardless of what happens in this fight, we won't forget that fact. Anderson Silva is a great martial artist, like a game-changer martial artist. It doesn't mean, though, that he's automatically going to win this fight against a young 25-year-old Jake Paul. There's a lot of reasons why Anderson Silva can lose this fight, and that's why it's kind of weird. Like, Anderson's been knocked out a few times. You know, he does clown about around a little bit, and he has paid for it. You know, he will get caught with shots in this fight if he doesn't take Jake Paul seriously. And Anderson Silva is a good boxer, especially defensively, but only if he's not opening up. The point when he has to start pressuring forward is when we start to see, gaps in his guard. And unfortunately, and of course, Anderson Silva is a martial artist first and a boxer second. There's a lot of crossover, which is why we always wanted to see the Anderson Silva Roy Jones fight. There's a crossover with their styles, the way that they fight. Like, Roy Jones was incredible for the way that he would slip and move, like his defensive ability, his ability to read his opponent's shots. I mean, like, I can't remember his opponent's name, but he was up against the ropes with his hands behind his back, leaped forward and knocked him out with a hook, like super slick, little shuffles and stuff that we'd not really seen, especially at the weight that he was doing it at. I mean, you know, the other guy that stands out would be Prince Nassim. You know, someone else that could kind of dance and weave and you know, make a fool of their opponents by making them miss. Anderson was just like that. You know, you watch his fight against his UFC debut against Chris Lieben, and Lieben was running forward, punching at the air, and Anderson was just ping, ping. You know, it was like a workout for him. Same thing with Forrest Griffin. And, you know, I've spoken to Forrest about this, and That was an overwhelming experience for him, for a lot of reasons. Of course, it's Anderson Silva, but the way that he was finished, he was ran onto a shot and Anderson just kind of popped him on the chin and you know, cut him down with ease. And Forrest Griffin's a big dude. You put Forrest Griffin next to Jake Paul and Jake Paul looks like a kid off the Disney Channel. Forrest Griffin's a big old ogre, you know? Like, broad shoulders, long arms, you know, he's got a big old head, he takes a shot really well. Anderson Silva toyed with him. Jake Paul, of course, if he lands, he's going to hurt him. But of course, his ability to land is going to be questionable as long as Anderson Silva's not clowning around and opening up too much. I think Anderson Silva coming in here as a sharpshooter boxer, giving the same respect that he gave Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., that's his way to win here. He could quite easily outbox Jake Paul as long as he gives him the respect and he plays the right game. If he comes in here and tries to deliver some kind of flashy performance and make Jake Paul look like he doesn't belong in there, which I'm not sure as he'll do, but he does like to entertain. And when he starts doing that, Jake Paul can uncork that massive overhand right that he would probably catch Anderson on the chin and put him down. You know, I'm not necessarily saying Jake Paul is going to stop Anderson, but he could knock him down a couple of times and win a decision. It's a weird old world. I'm going to show you a couple of things. So Jake's of course, you know, he's been very clever the way that he's gone about his opponents. Anderson Silva jumping in there with Chavez Jr. is a good boxer, world champion, fought Canelo, tough, durable, smart dude. Of course, you know, You will think about Julio Cesar Chavez and we think about his father who is my favourite boxer of all time. But people discredit Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. He's a great boxer. And Anderson Silva took him to a really hard fought split decision and it was a great fight to watch. There were moments where you can see Anderson Silva open up, but Chavez didn't capitalise on it. So it'd be hard to see Jake Paul doing it. So I think to myself, okay, well, Jake Paul's got quite an elementary boxing skill set. There's nothing particularly complex about it. The way that he goes about it is basic. You know, it's basic boxing skills. They're not giving him too much to think about. But at the same time, Jake Paul's a boxer not because he loves to be a boxer, because he would have been a boxer for a long time. He's a boxer because it's his next thing that he's doing. It's his next project. And what's interesting about this YouTube boxing phenomenon is that the people that are doing it are the people that watched BJ Penn lick the back of his gloves and watched Floyd Mayweather look out between the ropes when his opponent missed a body shot. You know, like they've seen all these bits, all these things that they thought to themselves, oh, that looked cool. I'd like to be doing that for my Instagram on a video. And then what you see in Jake Paul's fights is him trying to cram all of these gimmicky things into them. Like, I'll show you in a minute what I'm talking about. But Anderson Silva clowns about, but he clowns about because he likes to be able to show you that you can't touch him. But Anderson Silva's also 47 years old now. Same thing with Roy Jones. The thing that goes first is that ability to get out of the way. That reaction time to pull your chin out of the way of a shot that 5-10 years ago wouldn't have even come close to you. But now you see it coming and you're just not quite out of the way quick enough, or your reaction's not there. Central nervous system doesn't fire as quick as it needs to. And then you get caught on the chin. And, you know, you get caught on the chin once and you're even more susceptible to the next shot. And he's already impaired with him being 47. And I'm not saying he's not an absolute handful of a boxer. But what I am saying is that the things that he leaned on so much in his MMA career, that slickness and head movement and, you know, kind of unfathomable defense, come back here, try and hit me while I'm up against the fence. All those things about Anderson Silva that we were like, oh, he's doing that thing again. A lot of that, they're things that Father Time takes away from you. And Anderson Silva's got great technique. You know, you think about the setups that he used against Vitor Belfort, one of my favorites of all time, like phenomenal. He even sold it with his eye line and everything. He has a lot less weapons to work with in this fight, but he also has a lot lower fight IQ in front of him in Jake Paul, and not meaning any disrespect to him, but he's a beginner boxer that has had opponents that have been perfect for the timing of his progress. I'm not going to show you the Ben Askren fight. I'm not going to show you that. That was just a mess. But the two Tyron Woodley fights, this thing's worth looking at. Now, one thing I will point out, now, and of course, like I said, like this is Jake Paul picturing himself as a boxer when he's watching Canelo in there actually being a professional boxer. And Jake Paul has taken all those things on, and he's like, I want to be all those things, but he's not done the how many fights to get to where he needs to be to enable him to do those things safely or know when to do them properly. I mean, he's got a glowing waistband on his shorts for a start. You know what I mean? It's like there's a lot about the show, and that could make him just as vulnerable to Anderson Silva as Anderson Silva could make himself vulnerable to Jake Paul. Now, the other thing that you'll notice, now Jake is quite good at pressuring and feinting, and he's got decent lateral movement, like changing his direction, changing the way that he's moving. He uses his lateral movement quite well. And this is going to be interesting because Anderson Silva quite likes to be on the back foot as well. He will be on the front foot, but he would prefer to be on the back foot. You come to him because then he can do what he did to Tito and call you on and knock you out. With Jake Paul, if he decides he wants to be on the back foot, if he goes, oh my goodness, this is Anderson Silva, and he's taking this, imagine if, like, he's knocked out Tyron Woodley. Imagine if he beats Anderson Silva. Imagine if he knocks Anderson Silva out. It's a weird old world. It could absolutely happen, though. But immediately, it's another big name on Jake Paul. It's another credential that he can take ownership of. Even though it's not the Anderson Silva that was the UFC middleweight champion, it's an Anderson Silva that's having a second career as a boxer. I think Jake Paul is going to play this game. He's going to be on the outskirts, he's going to be on the back foot, and he's going to be trying to pick at Anderson coming forward. Now, something that is worth noting is that Anderson Silva is a southpaw. So this is a far more risky move for Jake Paul, because what you'll notice is as he throws this jab, his chin's up in the air, and he's circling into that direction with nothing to guard him. That is a serious risk for him, because the dangers for Anderson Silva is when he opens up. It's going to be the same thing with Jake Paul. If Anderson's pressuring and picking his shots, he's going to be coming straight over the top of that with a counter jab. He's going to be coming straight over that lead shoulder. But again, you know, Jake Paul, he's got good lateral movement. He's got decent defense, but he does have bad habits. Like, especially when he lunges for the body, what you'll see is he drops his rear hand. Where is it? Here we go. Look at that. Lead hand goes out. Look how long his stance is as well. Like, you take away a lot of your options if that back foot's not connected to the canvas. And what we're noticing with Jake Paul's footwork here is that he's taking a massive step with his front foot, and then look at his back foot. Look how it just kind of drags along the canvas. So even if this jab lands, this right hand's got nothing on the end of it because there's no connection to the floor. So again, if Anderson does start to move and slip away, it's going to be difficult for him to do what Chris Weidman did when he kept moving forward, kept stitching his punches on the end. Because look at the side of his boot scuffs along the canvas. Like, this is where his game kind of gets ragged. Like, where he's overreaching and where he's having to come out of his show. Here it is again, look. I call this a bow and arrow jab. I mean, you can see what I'm talking about. Back foot again, overreaching, really, really pushing forward. That's the moment where Anderson sticks you on the chin with a jab, with that popping lead hand that he caught Forrest Griffin with. Like, when you're overextending like this, when there's no sight of a guard, lead hand's being dealt with, no problem. You're not going to catch Anderson Silva with that pop. And he catches you on your chin when you land flat-footed on your front foot and your back toes are dragging behind you like an anchor. These are, like, if I was watching Jake Paul as an opponent, I'd be looking at these things and going, yep, that's when I catch you. I'm going to let you have your shot. I'm going to let you have your two shots. I'd be thinking about coming over that jab with my right hand, because that was one of my favorite ways to knock somebody out. They throw that and they just loop straight over the top and they walk onto it. Anderson's got all of these tools in the box. So anytime Jake Paul is moving the way that he is here, I mean, his feints are good. Like, Tyron Woodley bites on these things all the time. Look how he reaches out with both his hands. I mean, against a better boxer, he'd have been knocked out the first time, let's be honest. The frozen one. But, like, Jake Paul does really good with his feints, but then when he throws his power shot, you can see that coming. Now, there was an improvement between this first fight and the second fight, of course. His feints got more subtle. And again, if you've got loads of money and you can bring people to you to coach you in this craft, you can make a lot of distance up very, very quickly. Trust me, you can. I feel like I could take someone who's a good athlete and give them 6 months of basic skills and put them in fights where most people that have been training a lot longer would struggle. It's just about streamline of training. And what I love about Jake Paul is he's not trying to get in there and throw long combinations. He's not trying to naz it up and be slipping and alley shuffle. Sometimes he adds those things in, but they just look unnatural for him. It's like he's got a bank of checklists that he's got to tick off. He's going to lick the back of his gloves at some point, like BJ Penn, and he's going to dig a grave like Tito Ortiz did. You know, like, you can see he kind of wants to check all these things off his career as he's a boxer. It doesn't mean he's not putting the basics in, because, of course, you know, he wants to step into these environments and enjoy himself. And if you've not done the work to back it up, he's not going to enjoy himself because he's not going to have the confidence that he's going to come out on top. That's what I was talking about. See what I mean? It's like that's Mayweather. Was it Mayweather against... Oh, I can't remember who it was. Zab Judah, maybe? Like, I mean, you know what I mean? Like that's, and you can see immediately how he jumps out of it. Anderson Silva will jump on him if he's doing like that. Neither of these guys can like clown around. Like Anderson pressuring him in the corner here is where Jake Paul's guard's going to be caught, because his hands are quite low. And Anderson's very, very good at giving you one thing and showing you another. And again, southpaw v. orthodox, as he's moving towards this lead hand of Anderson Silva, Anderson could quite easily give him something and then walk him onto a shot. There are lots of tricks to Anderson Silva's game that if he's got Jake Paul backed up in the, against the ropes here, he could kind of smoke out those holes in his defense and catch him. I've pulled this because if I was Jake Paul, I would be looking at this against Anderson Silva, because Anderson might be playing with his lead hand. He might be kind of poking and prodding with it as a southpaw, obviously, because Tyron Woodley's orthodox here. But watch how he moves and pivots with this left hook. Catches Woodley, hurts him with it. Probably the best punch of the fight. And it's nice because he's able to kind of pivot on his lead foot and turn his weight into it. That's a nice little move, that. And you can see that Tyron Woodley's kind of a bit shaken by it. He tries to keep pressure in and tries to cover it, but you can tell he's a bit eyes wide. And then he goes back down to the body, but look what he's doing with his other hand. I mean, you know, this, like, at the very least, it should be here. But what I would prefer is for it to be here, so he's covered under his chin, so anything that's coming at that centre line while he's level changing to the body is covered. There are definitely holes in his game where Anderson Silva can exploit. But I also have to respect the fact that he's got a big shot that he can land. And again, if he's throwing combinations, he's going to open himself up. Single shots, single power shots. That was a lovely uppercut. Straight through the guard, straight under the guard of Tyron Woodley. But then he starts to look a bit sloppy. Then he throws that cross and throws himself off balance. That's where Anderson Silva's going to get him. If he's playing smart, Anderson Silva will wait until he overextends himself. I think this is the uppercut here. Gets Woodley to bite on the... yeah, it is. Gets Woodley to bite on the lead hand. And then comes straight up the centre line, inside that glove. Just catches him. Yeah. So then, obviously, if we skip to the next Tyron Woodley fight, we see the same kind of thing. We see a refinement in his game. He's a bit sharper. He's a bit more... what's the right word? He's a bit more forthright with, okay, I'm doing this now. There was a little bit less uncertainty. I don't know whether that's because he'd already had rounds with Tyron, so it was, you know, he'd already kind of overcame some of those anxiety demons. But he was definitely more comfortable in this fight. He was even standing a little bit more like a boxer in this fight. Like it was like the posture of his backhand had changed a bit. It reminds me a bit more of Margarito, you know, the guy that wore the casts against Cotto and then got slapped up in the rematch. But he's still doing that same thing with his backhand when he's level changing, stepping in. There's a vulnerability there every time he pulls that backhand away. But, you know, the work to the body started to pay off, and he started to use that level change. You can see because Woodley is terrible at reaching for stuff with his hands. He's always bringing his guard away. So, you know, they'd worked on a game plan clearly between one fight and the next where Jake Paul was going to be able to start working around that vulnerability. and he starts to come over the top. And of course, you know, you've got to kind of get your rhythm on it. But he landed a few shots and he did all right. And he got his measure. Here he goes again. Level change to the body, comes over the top. But now Woodley's really covered to the body. So then you've got to start working. Really covered to the head. So then you've got to start working to the body to start bringing those hands down again, which is what he did. He started going back to the body. Good work. Got to start bringing those hands down again. Like, Woodley always does this kind of sweeping with his hands. Oops, shit. No, it's not my hat off. Always does this sweeping with his hands, which is fine if you know that shot is 100% coming in that direction. You can sweep it out the way and counter it, absolutely. But the bad habit of reaching for shots, especially if you don't always get them, is what leaves you vulnerable to the knockout that he got caught with. Like, here we go. Here's a good example. Like, Jake Paul doesn't even really touch his body with that jab. That's how much of a feint it was. But look at what Woodley does with his rear hand. Now, he was fortunate that he had his lead hand somewhat up and he was able to take some of the brunt of that force. But that was the point when Jake Paul had got the measure of that shot. So what he needed to do was to give Tyron Woodley the impression that the right hand was coming low, because he needs him to be sweeping across the center line as if that right hand's coming down the center line. Because at this point, he's reached down for the lead hand. So unless Jake Paul's going to come around the side with the left hook, which is an option, he could absolutely have done that. That lead hand's now preoccupied. But what you'll also see is you can see where Jake Paul's arm is. I mean, it's like down here off screen somewhere around where this crystal skull is. He's winging this around the top and Tyron Woodley knows it's coming at that trajectory, which is why this lead hand's kind of going up to start to cover him. There it is, look. But what you'll see in the knockout, and here he is, tries it one more time. Look, straight down the pipe. Guard's too high though. Goes to the head with the jab, guard's too high. What you'll see with the shot to the body is that he gives the impression, look at that dip. Now he's not feinting with the jab. Now he's feinting as if this punch is going to come round and attack this target. That's the posture that he's giving Tyron Woodley right now. This is why Tyron Woodley, and anybody that says this was set up, not for any amount of money is Tyron Woodley going to plank onto his face. Don't be so stupid. He got caught with a big shot. He got caught with a good shot. He was feinted into removing his guard. A very simple thing that anyone can fall for, especially if they're not taking Jake Paul seriously, because they're underestimating this Disneyland kid, and they're thinking that he don't know he doesn't know what he's doing in there. I keep saying don't instead of the wrong. Anyway, the point is, he sold this feint really well. Like, tell me that doesn't look like he's punching to the body. Tell me that doesn't look like he's punching to the body. And watch what Tyron Woodley does with his lead hand. Are you seeing it? Like, it's a shame that we can't see his eyes change, because from this position right here, and I'm only seeing one of his eyes, it looks to me like he's looking at Tyron Woodley and then his eye line changes, like Anderson Silva did against Vitor Belfort. I can't believe I'm making that comparison. Is that not a big body shot? Tyron Woodley thinks it is, because he goes to block it. Whack. Whack. Ping. Gotta love it. You gotta love it. People underestimate him, and that is their mistake. Anderson Silva can't do it. You can see how Tyron Woodley's bringing that arm down, because he thinks this is coming around and into his ribs here. Bang, right over the top. I mean, come on. Tyron Woodley is not that good of an actor to be able to put that on. No one falls like that. Even people that are faking knockouts, they put their hands down before they land. That is a telltale sign if someone's faking it, because they go, oh, break their own fall. It's very difficult to do. Like, here's one for the British audience out there. You remember the Only Fools and Horses leaning through the counter. Jamie's laughing, he remembers it. Like, why was that so funny? Because he sold it, because he fell like a plank. Like, it's so difficult to do that, even though David Jason was falling onto a crash mat. It's so difficult to do that. Even when you're conscious and you know you're going to land all right, there's no way that you're telling me that this was a setup in any way. Like, look at Jake Paul's commitment to that body shot. Body shot, body shot, body shot. He's even looking at the body as it's coming over the top, and crack. There it is. Anderson Silva can't underestimate Jake Paul. He's a 25-year-old, 6'1" kid with a 76-inch reach, and he's 5-0 in his career with 4 knockouts. He's going to have confidence. This is his show. He's going to feel like, I've got a 47-year-old Anderson Silva whose best years are behind him, and all that gaming around he's going to do, he's going to fall short because he's going to underestimate me. That's where Jake Paul's mind is. So then on Anderson Silva's side, you go, okay, well, when he wants to box, he can box. He's very slick, but he's much better with his single shots, his counter shots, and working out of his defense. Because Julio Cesar Chavez, of course, another good boxer, was not going to give Anderson Silva anything for free. So Anderson was having to work a little bit harder to land. Like, you can see Chavez pulling back and blocking here as Anderson's throwing his cross. And whenever Anderson starts to throw multiple shots, he starts to look a little bit reckless. He starts to look a little bit like he's vulnerable. Here we go, look. Like, because this Anderson Silva is, come on, do something, because I'm waiting for you to throw so I can counter. I fought a guy like this once, and every time he was going to do something, he started to like do crazy kung fu things with his hands. And you're like, oh, stop it. You just want to hit him. And that's when he starts to counter you. But Chavez had the respect for Anderson Silva that I think a lot of boxers wouldn't have. And he didn't engage. He was like, no, I'm going to give him space. And as Anderson Silva comes forward, he has a very long reach, and he's very good at using his reach. Just manages to catch his head with that, but look how open he is as he's coming forward. Like, if Jake Paul stands his ground there and throws that right hand, it doesn't matter how many fights and how many championships Anderson Silva's got. You catch someone when they're on that forward trajectory, on that target, and they're going down. Like, they're going down. Especially at this weight class. Like, here it is again, look. Big left hand over the top. Like, he steps into range quite square. Like, there is a concern here, because I think Jake Paul's going to give him the same kind of respect that he gave Tyron Woodley. And I think he is going to be on the back foot. And we talked about that left hook from Jake Paul. I mean, this is a lovely setup, because that looks like it's going to the body, which is why Anderson's blocking to the body. It's another feint. It's something... Ooh. It's similar to what Canelo did to Kovalev. Worked his body, got him biting on that body block, and then came to the head. I mean, you can see Anderson's gone to block a body shot that he thought was coming. Bang, right over the top. I mean, you know, look, I expect Anderson to be able to outbox him if he chooses to, but this is what concerns me. I found a few clips of it. Look, he's moving forward with his chin in the air, running through from one stance to the next quite square. And in the moments in his career where he would have been able to see a shot and pull back, 47, you know, that does start to go. I like his work up against the ropes, and I think obviously what he did to Tito is really slick. I mean, his head movement, his defence is very good, but it's either defence or offence. It's very, very, it's very difficult. I don't often see him slipping and countering straight away. He's either countering as you're punching, or he's just slipping and moving. It's a different thing. It's a different art. And I've not seen it as much from Anderson Silva. Like, he doesn't tend to, like you can see here, he tends to slip and then he goes. He's not going as you're going. He's not waiting for you to fire and then taking his opportunities. Cover, difficult to get to, waiting for you to finish your combination. I mean, like, he's difficult to catch. But again, look, he's in this corner. He's not opening up. And I just struggle to see Jake Paul playing this game. I think he's going to have too much respect for Anderson Silva, and he's not going to want to look like a fool throwing shots and missing. Like, is he going to be called back? No, of course he's not. He's probably going to do what Nick Diaz did and lay down on the floor against Anderson Silva. In fact, I have just said that now. Now I can't not picture him doing that. It's like, at some point in this fight, Jake Paul's going to have to do the recline Nick Diaz. Would it surprise you? Of course it wouldn't. He will lick the back of his glove and lay down. He'll dig. I can just see it all. He's going to want to check off all of these things, and he's not going to play this game with Anderson. Like, this was slick against Chavez. He ain't playing this game. Bang. Not playing. Bang. Not playing. This was a good fight, this was. Chavez is a tough individual. Like, I think when he realised it, when he got in there, he realised that, you know, it wasn't going to be nearly as easy to hit Anderson Silva as a lot of people think it is. And that pressure had dawned on him because it was almost like he was representing his boxing record and the boxing community against Anderson Silva. He probably shouldn't have been in there with him a little bit. Tito Ortiz, big dude, big head, like a watermelon. You'd have to stitch these two hats together for him. Very hittable. Crowded Anderson Silva up against the ropes. I mean, you know, he's not the most finesseful of boxer, but I don't expect Jake Paul to look much different if he's in close and he's pressuring Anderson Silva like this. And this is why I don't think he's going to, because I expect at some point Anderson is going to be able to see the opportunity to crack him. And this was a lovely shot. See, look, when he opens up, when he's slipping, he's vulnerable. I mean, Tito's just not particularly dangerous with his hands. But, you know, so Anderson Silva could take some of these risks. But this was a lovely little move here. Super slick. Because, like, he'd been here for a minute now. He'd got Tito's rhythm. Tito was doing these little Joe Calzaghe kind of, I'll hit him with something if it's my forearm. And Anderson was kind of, yeah, okay, this is a safe pocket. I know where the height of his elbow is because he's tried it a couple of times and that one just drifts over the top of his head. Like, there's his elbow. Like, Anderson knows the height that he's at because it's there. As long as he can stay underneath that height, he comes up on this side and you can punch him in the melon. Nice and simple. Measure it, come back up, under, wham. And then one more, and Tito's done for. Bless him. Bless him. The Huntingdon Beach bad boy. I used to want to fight at light heavyweight one day so I could fight Tito. True. Very true. I had a sparring session with him once. Got bored of hitting him. This is a weird and interesting fight. What I would like to see from both of these guys is for them to step in there and have a proper boxing match where there's no looking through the ropes or do this or calling back into the corner. I'd like to see him box. I'd like to see him box. Have a proper boxing match. I know Anderson Silva can do it. I think Jake Paul can do it as well. I think his boxing's a little bit more basic than Anderson Silva's, but I also think he makes up for that by having confidence of being undefeated. He's knocked out the majority of his opponents. He's already knocked out Tyron Woodley. He's got two champs on his record if you count Ben Askren and his belts. And then, you know, he's 25 compared to 47. What do you think? Tell me in the comments. I'm interested. Check out fullreptile.co.uk. Hats, hoodies, t-shirts, badges, lanyards, stickers, all kinds of goodness. Thank you for watching The War Room. Enjoy this weird and wonderful fight in this weird and wonderful world of combat sports, and I'll see you next time.